Tonight we turn again to the book of Jonah. It's been a few weeks since we looked at chapter 1. And we continue our theme, the city God wanted to save. To recap a little bit on what we looked at last time, God's call to Jonah to go to Nineveh has fallen on deaf ears. Jonah's hatred for the Syrians of Nineveh won't allow him to obey the Lord. So he flees to Joppa, and there he boards a ship heading for Tarshish. He pays the fare thereof, and he finds a cosy spot down below decks, and duly falls asleep. While sleeping, the Lord sends out a great wind into the sea, verse 4. And you notice it was the Lord who sent the wind. And the sailors are in jeopardy of their lives. And these sailors do all that's humanly possible within their power to battle the tempestuous seas. But the storm grows greater and greater by the minute. But there's something strange about this storm. These sailors realise after many years at sea that storms don't just come up out of nowhere like this one did. And so they start asking themselves questions. Who's on board this ship that could be the cause of this troublesome storm? This is what they begin to ask themselves. And after a few chit-chats here and there throughout the ship, they decide that they will cast lots. And of course the lot fell upon Jonah. So they waste absolutely no time and they begin their interrogation of Jonah. What's your occupation? Where do you come from? Where are you going? What nationality are you? These are some of the questions that the sailors asked Jonah. And it's from these questions and from Jonah's answers that they discover that they do have the right man. Here is the man who's the cause of this storm, which has come up out of nowhere. Remember, Jonah's God is the God who has made the sea on which they sail, the dry land on which they build their houses upon. And the sailors realise this now. Before the storm they were praying to false gods. But after interrogating Jonah, they realise that the God of Jonah is much more powerful and different from the God that they have been praying to. So the sailors are afraid. And they really do not want to do what Jonah has suggested. And that is, of course, to throw him overboard. And so, with one last ditch attempt, they try to bring the ship to land. But alas, it's to no avail. So once again these sailors turn to the Lord and they cry unto the Lord God of heaven not to lay this man's life to their account. And after doing this, they take up Jonah and they throw him overboard. And as far as they're concerned, that's the end of Jonah. So that's what we looked at, or that's the story thus far. But the first thing we want to see this evening is, what a way to save Jonah. What a way to save Jonah. Jonah's life ultimately, of course, is saved by God. But he uses a great miracle. God, in the midst of judgment, remembers mercy. And although running away from the Lord and wanting nothing to do with Nineveh, the Lord shows Jonah mercy. Now Jonah is about to go through an experience which will frighten him greatly. But yet, it will not harm him. He will be frightened to such an extent that I don't think we can put into words, but yet no harm will come to God's servant. The sailors have lifted him up, threw him into the raging water, and death is only a few minutes away. No one could survive the raging seas. That is, until the Lord of the seas steps in and miraculously saves Jonah. Chapter 1, verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish. I absolutely love these words. The Lord had prepared a great fish. What wonderful, wonderful words these are. Picture Jonah. Picture this man in the raging waters. The waves are so high that he could hardly even see the boat, I'm sure, when one passed over him. He's drowning. He's but minutes away from death. But what does he see in the waters coming by? A great fish, its mouth open wide, and it swallows him. What a picture that is. Can you imagine what's going through Jonah's mind as he sees that great monster of the seas opening his mouth? Surely he must be thinking, God's vengeance is truly upon me. Turn to Matthew chapter 40. Matthew chapter 40. Here we read what the Lord says this great fish was. Chapter 12 and verse 40. As for Jonah, was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So there, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ tells us what kind of a fish was that swallowed Jonah. It was a great whale. I'm sure you've seen these photographs and pictures on our TVs and on these programs that show the great whales of the sea. They're majestic creatures. And so it is the Lord himself who tells us that this great fish was a whale, the largest fish of the sea, a fish with a mouth so big that it can swallow a man whole, and a belly that's big enough to hold a man. So this is the fish that has swallowed Jonah, and a frightening, terrifying experience it must have been. And in verse 17 here, God tells us that he prepared this great fish. Our God prepared this great fish. God had found a work for a fish of the sea. Isn't it wonderful how God can use anything at his disposal? He was the God who made these animals, these fish, in the 7 days of creation. And here we see that he is the God of creation. He is the God who's not only in control of your life and mine, but he's in the control of the largest animal of the seas, this great whale. He prepared this great fish. He had found a work for him. And God has appointed this great fish to be Jonah's deliverer. I'm sure you've probably heard this spoken Jonah many, many times. But never should we lose our amazement of what our God can do and is still doing today for wretched sinners like we. This deliverance of Jonah should remind us that God is in control of the world. He's in control of our nation. He's in control of our politicians. He's in control of our lives. Every single detail part, he is in control. And he's in control in the midst of this great storm. And he has prepared this great fish to be Jonah's deliverer. So this great fish, it was prepared by the Lord from the day it was born. Remember that? It's under God's control. He has brought this great fish close by the boat, knowing that the sailors would throw Jonah overboard. And this great fish is waiting for God's command to swallow Jonah. Are you amazed? Are you filled with wonderment of what our great God can do? Well, we should be. We should stand here, sit here this night, amazed at what our God can do. And this brings us to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It reminds us of the great Saviour that we have and the great death that he took upon himself there at the cross. And as we think of these great miracles that happened here with Jonah and all the miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ did as he walked upon this earth, they should always remind us of the great cross of Christ and that great salvation that he wrought there. What great love God had for Jonah. He deserved to die, didn't he? He really deserved to die. He was in complete disobedience. God told him to go west, but Jonah went east. Can't get further away. He's trying to run away from Nineveh. Nineveh was to the west. Jonah went to Joppa. And then tried to get away to Tarshish. But of course he was never ever going to reach Tarshish. For our God was in control. He was in rebellion against God. And yet look at the wonderful deliverance that God had wrought for him. A miraculous deliverance of his life. And here we have it recorded for us. And although frightened, like we've said, beyond measure, Jonah is safe in the belly of the whale. I wonder how many times in our lives we have been a Jonah. Remember, the Lord has a city to save. Jonah is the man that is to be the preacher. There's 120,000 men, women and children in Nineveh. And the Lord wants to save every one of them. And here's a servant who was running away, as he thought. God has now put in the position. He's in a whale's belly. There's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide now. Not even in the whale's belly. But God has him in the place where he wanted him to be at this particular time. And maybe the Lord has asked us to do things for him. But just like Jonah, we've turned away. We've turned away from him and we've been too busy. That's our great excuse in life, isn't it? We're too busy. Now we are busy. I'm busy. I'm sure you're busy. Our jobs take up so much of our time, and rightly so. That is the things that God has given to us to earn our keep. But we're busy. But we do have some free time. The children must be looked after. Of course they do. The job is so demanding. Maybe just like Jonah, the people you find yourself around at this time, maybe you don't like them. Do you ask what Jonah's problem was? He didn't like the people of Nineveh. He hated them. He's so much, he ran away from the Lord and disobeyed. These Syrians, these Nineveh folks, they were the arch enemy of the Israelites for centuries. And Jonah didn't want them. He didn't want to know anything about them. And maybe there's somebody close to us, maybe in our work, that we don't get on with that great. Maybe someone in our families. And we don't want to talk to them. And we're being a Jonah. Well, the Lord says, stop being a Jonah. And start speaking to these people about Christ. And telling them of their need to be saved. So Jonah's rebellious heart has landed him in the belly of a great fish. The second thing we want to see is this prayer that Jonah had. We're going to see three things here about this prayer in chapter 2 that Jonah prayed. Chapter 2 and verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. So Jonah finds himself in the stomach of a great whale. It's really hard to imagine what it must have been like. But you know, some things are obvious. It was dark. It was dark. Yeah, the darkness makes a frightening experience even the more frightening, doesn't it? And it was probably noisy. Every breath this great fish took, every pound of its heart, the great noise that these great whales of the oceans make, they pierce the ocean waves for miles and miles. If you were on a ship miles and miles and whales were making their noise, you would hear them plainly and clearly over the ocean waves. The sliminess of its belly. If you've ever caught a fish and you try to get it off the hook and you've got it and you're looking to eat it and you're taking it home to cook it, you will know the smell and the sliminess of a fish. And the movement of this great fish through the waters, we might say Jonah was like on a fair ground ride. He's up, he's down, side to side. And it's from here, out of the fish's belly, that Jonah makes a prayer to God. Out of the fish's belly, out of the belly of hell, cried I, verse 2. Out of the belly of hell cried I. This is where Jonah prayed. His affliction, his circumstance, the position that God, that the God of the seas has put him in. This is why he prayed. This is where he prayed. Terrifying place it must have been. Lying there in this great fish's belly. This is where Jonah prayed to God. You'll remember as he ran to Joppa and he boarded the ship for Tarshish. There was no prayer when he travelled to Joppa. There was no prayer while he was on board. He was sleeping. You see, when our hearts are in a rebellious state and we're running away from the Lord, as it were, then there will be no prayer. There will be no prayer. Jonah was running from the Lord and there was no prayer. And if we run from the Lord, and if we don't make time for the Lord, well then we're running away from the Lord. We've got to make time. We've got to organise our lives, our children, our jobs, which can be very, very difficult to do. Children, they sometimes take sick. We plan things that, and then something happens just out of the blue and all our plans are threw up. Well, that's all in God's hands. But when we need to make plans, and God willing, nothing will happen, then we should get to church on Sabbath morning and on Sabbath evening, if it's possible. This is why we have our church at 7 o'clock. We try to encourage the mums and dads to bring the children along. And yes, we know it can be difficult. And there's times when that won't happen. But we must try to do that. Because if we don't, then we could say we are running away from the Lord. We're not coming to the place of worship where God can speak to us, help us, encourage us, strengthen us for the week ahead. It was a very strange place to pray, wasn't it? The belly of this great fish. It's not a place we would choose. I'm sure if we had the option, we wouldn't pick this particular spot. We'd rather be here, like a meeting like this. But this is where Jonah prayed. And brethren, that's the place to pray. The place where you are is the place to pray. And God will put you in difficult situations sometimes. That's the place to pray. If it's in a hospital bed, that's the place to pray. If it's on a difficult job and you're having great troubles, that's the place to pray. If you're at home with the children and they're giving you an awful hard time and there's a lot of tears, that's the place to pray. This was Jonah's place. This is where he prayed. The third thing we want to see this evening is why he prayed. Verse 2. Why did Jonah pray? Because he was in trouble. It's very simple, isn't it? He was in trouble. He was in big trouble. You see, he's now under a renewed sense of sin. He now realizes that God has shown his displeasure at his sin. And Jonah turns to prayer when there's nothing else left to do. He's imprisoned in the fish's belly. He's tried running from the Lord. He's tried hiding from the Lord. And now God's servant has his rebellious heart laid bare. His heart has been ripped apart. In the belly of this great fish, he turns to God and his heart is bare before him. And his heart is humbled. He's had his heart softened. And he's now serious about prayer. Yeah, he's serious. See, sometimes we can come to prayer and we're not really serious about it, are we? We come as if it's just something that we normally do, or we don't come to the Lord in any great sense of need. But Jonah's not like that. He's entombed in the side, inside the belly of this great fish. And it took 3 days and 3 nights before he was released from it. 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a fish. Now this is a miraculous miracle, because I don't believe for any sense of anything for a moment that any man can live in the whale's belly and live. This was a miraculous miracle done by God. It's not something you've ever heard of before. It's a miracle. What else could Jonah do? Only pray. And what an earnest prayer he now makes before his God. He's now fully aware he's been neglecting his spiritual duties. And the fourth thing we want to see, our last thing, when Jonah prayed. See, what is prayer? What is prayer? Well, it's a pouring out of what's inside our hearts. It's the pouring out of what's inside our hearts. That's what prayer is. And God is saying to Jonah didn't pray because his heart was not right with God. That's why he didn't pray at the start. But when his heart was laid bare, then he was able to tell God the truth. Until our hearts are laid bare, we won't tell God the truth. We will delude ourselves. Whenever we come in the right spirit, we'll tell God the truth, and all will pour out. We'll hold nothing back. Out of the belly of hell I cried, and then thou heardst my voice. Verse 2. God hears the prayers of a broken and contrite heart. And he hears Jonah's prayer. And here Jonah says he felt he was in hell when he was in the belly of this great fish. That's how Jonah felt inside his heart. He felt as if he was in hell. But it wasn't a hell that he couldn't get out of. It was a kind of hell, if you want, that he could pray himself out of. But of course, folks, we know that there's a hell where we can't pray ourselves out of. That hell which can never be prayed out of, it's God's hell. It's God's hell where the unrepentant sinner will go upon death and no amount of prayer will work. God's ear is closed to their cry. But to Jonah, God's ear is fully opened. And Jonah pours out his heart to God. He pours out the truth. In other words, he tells him, I've done wrong. I've run away from you. I have been bold. You told me to go to Nineveh. I ran to Joppa. And God is saying to Jonah, Jonah, tell me, Jonah, how you feel about what I'm putting you through. Is that how you pray? Do you tell God about what he already knows? Of course, God knew everything that was going to happen with Jonah. We know that. He had prepared the fish to swallow Jonah for days. He brought that fish alongside the boat. The very moment that the sailors threw Jonah overboard, God commanded the fish to swallow. All prepared. And he says to Jonah, you tell me about all this. You tell me about what I have done to you today. And how I have brought you to your knees in prayer. That's what God wants to hear from you in prayer. So this is what Jonah does. He tells God in prayer what has happened to him in recent days. Strange, isn't it? Jonah, tell me exactly what has happened to you, what I have done to you, and what you have done to me in these recent days. And this is what we find in chapter 2. Let's read it together again from verse 3. Remember, this is Jonah telling God what has happened to him and what Jonah has done to the Lord. For thou hast cast me into the deep, truth, into the midst of the seas, truth, the floods compassed me about, all thy billows, all thy waves passed over me, truth. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, truth. Yet I will look again towards thy holy temple. I'll come to thee in prayer, truth. The waters compass me about even to the soul. The depths close me round about. The weeds are wrapped round about my head, truth. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God, truth. When my soul fainted, truth, frightened beyond measure. My soul fainted within me. I remembered the Lord, truth. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple, truth. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own truth. I have been running away from you, Lord. Vanity. I shouldn't have done it. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. He's turning to God in prayer and he's saying, Lord, I realize all my mistakes. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. He realizes his mistakes. And look what he says, salvation is of the Lord. He realizes that there's only one way to get to heaven, through the Lord. Salvation is all of God. So Jonah pours out his heart to God, and this is the kind of prayer God loves to hear, a prayer of truth, a prayer of thanksgiving, a prayer of remembrance of what the Lord has done for Jonah. And look what happens. When Jonah returns to the Lord, what happens to him? Verse 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah upon the dry land. It's lovely. Isn't it lovely what God has done for Jonah? But he wasn't getting out of the belly of this fish until he made this prayer, and until he returned unto the Lord. Now, did it take 3 days and 3 nights for Jonah to make this prayer? I don't think so. It may have just taken a little while to get him the lamb. But whatever. If it did take him that length of time, well then his soul and his heart was in more agony than it needed to be. So when we've got something on our minds, or we've got a problem, the sooner we get it to the Lord, the better. And that's what we can learn from these verses. Tell God the truth, because he knows all truth. Tell him your experiences. He knows them before you tell them. And these things we learn from Jonah's experience in the belly of the fish. We'll leave it there for this evening.